Well, would you turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 24? Genesis chapter 24. Read a few verses and focus on one particular one. Genesis 24, commencing at verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. You know the context, Abraham sending a servant to find a wife for his son, and she's on her way. And there she is. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And it isn't amazing, the preciousness of God's word, that we open it and we read it verse by verse and chapter by chapter and truth by truth. And what other book would we open it and just study it and worship the Lord as he reveals himself in it? And we pray the Lord will bless this short reading to our hearts. Verse 63 is my text this morning. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, at dusk. And my subject this morning is meditation. It's a dying and rare act of worship. And if that's so in our lives, are we not living underneath our privileges? It's a privilege to meditate on the Lord and on His Word. Heard the illustration, heard the story, which is an illustration of a family that was giving their college graduate daughter a gift for her graduation, a cruise. And they weren't sure of the amenities, and so they stored up Spam and canned fruit and peanut butter, crackers, and so on. And so at breakfast, I suppose, and lunch and dinner, they were eating what I just listed. And all, you know, those tables were spread out, but they weren't aware of these things. And so one meal, the daughter stayed a little bit behind her parents, and she snuck a whole plate of rich delicacies from the smorgasbords. And when they got back to their room and parents discovered what she had done, they were aghast, you know, they just were shocked and embarrassed, and they took the plate to someone and said, we're sorry, our daughter took this, and we want to pay for it. And the authority said, it's already covered in your package. You have access to all this food and all these amenities. They were living under their privileges that had been paid for by them. And I believe so often we live under our privileges as believers. And meditation is a tremendous privilege. It's a duty, yes. Thou shalt meditate day and night, the Lord told Joshua. Meditate upon these things, Paul told Timothy. But it's a privilege. Think about meditation. It's a mind fixed on the Lord. It's prolonged thought of God. Thinking about the Lord. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. Remember Psalm 1. Blessed is the man, it goes on to say, that meditates day and night in the law of the Lord. A benediction is placed upon those who meditate. It's a beatitude, isn't it? Psalm 1 is really an introduction to the whole Psalter. And the Lord is saying the key to receiving blessings from this portion of Scripture is to think upon these things, to let them dwell in you. So this morning, I want to commend us to meditation of the Lord and His Word. It's so neglected in this age of the explosion of mass communication, and yet in an age where communion with God is on the decline, isn't it? I believe as we ponder this particular text and all the texts about meditation, that meditation is indicative of someone who loves the Lord. It's an act of love toward God. You're thinking of the Lord on purpose. You're saying God is worthy of my thought, of my prolonged thought. This is telling us, Isaac, love the Lord. Remember, the Lord said to love Him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And to love the Lord with all your mind certainly includes meditation. It's a choice that we make, isn't it? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We waste so much time, and when the years come by where we can't get up and walk anymore, what we'll take with us to our sick beds and to our death beds is not going to be all the amusement and pleasure and those temporary things. We'll take with us the Lord, thoughts on Him, truth that became part of us. And time is running out. For all eternity, our mind is going to be dwelling upon Him, Isaiah, right? Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation. Of course, it's the law about the Lord and about His truth. If we love Him, we'll meditate on Him. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate to show that he delights in Him. So what comes first, the delight or the meditation? Yes. I will meditate on your precepts. Again, it's a choice. You don't have to tell engaged couples to think about one another. It's spontaneous. It's natural. It's a choice. And the question comes, do I love the Lord? And we know in our heart of hearts that that meditation is a real test, isn't it? If we love the Lord sincerely. It is a facilitation. It is keeping the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul and mind, and with all of our being. And so the greatest sin is to break the greatest commandment. And we don't always think of that. We think of some grotesque and vulgar things that people do that we have done as the greatest sins, but they're symptoms of the fact that we just ceased loving the Lord or halted loving the Lord. It's an invisible act, though with visible results, so it's unhypocritical. You can't see people meditate. It's not memorization, of course, is not an end in itself, but meditation is an end, isn't it, on the Lord. Now, Isaac was in a rural setting, but even he knew he needed some time alone with God. He went out into a field. It was probably a little tent city there, but he went out into the field. There's a choice that he made to love the Lord. May we love the Lord. There are many expressions of loving the Lord, but this is a major expression. It's an act of love toward God. Lord, you're worthy of my prolonged thought. I wonder what the Lord thinks of me when I have so little thought of Him, only when I'm forced to think, when it's compartmentalized. The time of devotions is a precious time, but how often we hang up instead of keeping the line open by meditation. We see that it certainly captures the eye of the Almighty, isn't it? How did Moses know that Isaac meditated? It's kind of one of those things you see. It wasn't just Moses recording factual information. that Isaac met Rebecca. He records that, but isn't it amazing? Isaac went out to meditate. None of us see that. The Lord records it. He's saying, I saw that. That's something that is worthy of my notice. It's preserved by the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Here is a believer after mine own heart. That's what the Lord's saying to all of us. Isaac is representative of one who loves the Lord, one who is a believer after God's heart. What do we desire to be remembered by? Or maybe we should ask, what would the Lord preserve of our life? Isn't it a precious thing what the Lord preserves of Isaac's life is that Isaac meditated? Again, it's an invisible act, but the omniscient eye of God sees it all. It's drawing near to God on purpose. I remember someone saying that text, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, that we are as close to God as we really want to be. How often we blame others or lament we're not as close to God that we want to be because of this and because of that, because of... No, we're as close to God as we want to be. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Here is genuine Christianity. Remember Malachi 3, it says, a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. The Lord has a book of remembrance for those particularly that ponder him, that have prolonged thought of him, that think about him. Do you want to capture the eye of Almighty God? The widow meditating in her home, the person going into eternity, pondering the things of God, the Lord sees that. It's a redemption of precious time, isn't it? It was toward evening, it says. It's a revenge of years of waste in many of our lives. Wasted 18 years of my life. The days are evil. They're filled with calamity and they're short. Think about all the time that we have. And you say, what time? The time that we're falling to sleep. Although it might be just 30 seconds for some of us, what a wonderful way to fall asleep. Instead of worrying, we should fall asleep thinking upon the Lord. Remember the psalmist? I will both lay me down and sleep, for the Lord will keep me. And he says, commune with your heart upon your bed and be still. Or when we wake up, it takes some of us quite a while to wake up, but those 5 or 10 minutes before we roll out of bed, what a wonderful opportunity to think about the Lord. When we're exercising, when we're driving, all the drive time, when we're washing dishes, when we're waiting in line instead of stewing over the slow cashier, it's an opportunity to meditate. Walking to class, some jobs, I'd certainly be cautious. Some of you have very dangerous jobs and you're liable to lose a limb if you do too much extra thinking. All that time really involved, more than we think. Isaac wasn't slothful. It was after work, wasn't it? It says toward eventide. He worked during the day. He redeemed the time. And again, I quote Dr. Custer when I was listening to his message. He said, so often when we have our devotional time with the Lord, we hang up instead of keeping the line open all day long with the Lord in meditation. Don't hang up on the Lord. We do, don't we? We close our Bible and we hang up for the rest of the day. Keep the line open. Redeem precious time. You can take that with you into eternity. Oh, the benefits of meditation. Oh, the benefits. Prevention of sin, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It's an inner sword to slay lust and pride and greed and envy and bitterness. It's a form of thought control. That's what meditation is. It's a form of thought control. Our thoughts get away from us, but really, they don't get away from us. We let them get away from us. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's meditation. Peace and persecution. Princes did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's like people are breathing down his neck, but he's all the while enjoying a table in the wilderness. Certainly help in prison. If the day comes when we're in prison and we don't have our Bibles, what are we going to do then? If we haven't been meditating and storing away God's word. You say, well, that won't happen in my lifetime. Maybe not. What I read of Georgie Vins and Richard Wurmbrand and others, Wurmbrand says as much scripture as he memorized, he almost forgot it all in the 14 years in the Romanian prison as they tried to torture him, and they did torture him. And yet the storehouse that he had was so precious to him when he didn't have a literal Bible with him. Helps us to understand the truth. You know that text in John 7:17, the will comes before the understanding. If any man be willing to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. So often we say, I don't understand this. It's because are we willing to follow through with the truth? The Lord is saying, you know what the key is to understanding the truth is a willingness that if we did or do understand that we're willing to go through with it. The willingness comes first. Remember Mary, when everybody else was wondering why Jesus was going to the cross? It says Mary kept these things by pondering them in her heart. That's why she was poised. And the women were not shocked when they stood there at the cross when everybody else scattered. And a great facilitation of Mary's understanding of the cross work of Christ was her meditation on the things that she was hearing from the very beginning. It's going to aid our understanding of the truth by meditating on it. Prayerfulness, a devotional mood. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray. And the word for pray is meditate and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. A cultivation of humility. Let the proud be ashamed, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Passion for the Lord. Again, when I muse, the fires burned. You say, I don't love the Lord as much as I should. My heart is cold. How do I get back that fire? When I mused, the fires burned. We've allowed the Lord to get out of our minds and thoughts. We've allowed other things to get in, slander and bitter thoughts and gossip and evil things and things that are temporal that have just crowded out all the truths that once brought contentment, the fear of the Lord, and peace of God that passes all understanding. Oh Lord, let me muse that the fires of love and devotion will burn again. Life's too short for us to waste time to be bitter or worldly. It'll propel our obedience. Again, Psalm 1. Why was he not seated with the scorners and walking with the wicked and so on? Because he was meditating in the Word of God. It's a strengthening influence when you're tempted to compromise and to be disobedient. It propels our obedience. It's an aid. It brings delight and joy. As he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Cures or prevents depression. You read Psalm 145, and he talks about his spirit being overwhelmed within him, but then he said, I will meditate in thy statutes. It's a way to prepare for death and eternity. Again, you can take this with you. You take your spiritual condition with you into eternity, right? I have this idea. We all start at point A after we die. Is that true? We start where we left off. Yes, we're glorified, but we take those thoughts of the Lord with us. We take our growth point with us, and we grow for all eternity. How can we say there's no room for growth in eternity? The infinite God, we're still finite, though we have eternal life. But we start where we left off, and I want to leave off. Was it McShane? Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. And meditation's a huge part of seeing that fulfilled. Huge. So often the things that we do are momentary. We pray they'll have residual effects. A sermon is for 30 minutes or whatever. But meditation is on. We have, again, we're compartmentalized, but meditation is lifelong. It's deep communion with God. And you say a benefit. Look at the benefit here. I mean, was it coincidental that here he goes out to meditate, and at that point in providence, here comes Rebecca? Just a point that I feel is precious. That he didn't know that they were going to arrive at that point. They're going to arrive sometime. Maybe even for several nights he was expecting her to arrive, as you know the story. But isn't it amazing how the Lord had her arrive when he was out worshiping the Lord? Don't you find that true when you seek the Lord and his righteousness, and these things are added to you? And in the path of obedience is the path of blessing, the path of providential blessings of God. Was it Dr. McClellan saying last night that when you stepped out in faith and your house wouldn't sell in Seattle and we're going, and in the path of obedience, the letter came, the house is sold. The path of obedience. How often have we found that so? In the path of obedience, in the path of purposeful worship, Rebecca was brought to him. So he was in the right frame of mind. He was in the Lord. He was in the Spirit. He was seeking the Lord. How we want in every, I mean, meditation throughout the day will help us when we answer the telephone, when we open a letter, when we go to the, in every place, it's a way of preparing for everything. We should be praying about everything. Of course, it's a facilitation of praying without ceasing, of rejoicing evermore, and in everything giving thanks. Oh, the benefits. I commend meditation. I need this as much as anyone. I'm looking in the mirror today. It's easy to preach on this, but what a difficult thing it is to practice. It shows my shallowness by my lack of meditation. Let's not live underneath our privileges. Let's purpose to ponder the truth of our reading each day, of our prayer through the day, to plan to meditate on the messages that we hear in the Lord's Day morning and the afternoon, and the evening as we retire for the night, and ponder them throughout the week. Let's fall asleep and wake up with the Lord in meditation. You say, what do I meditate on? Let's dwell on his names, on his qualities, on his works, on his promises, on the gospel truths, on his miracles, the prophecies, the warnings, the metaphors, the parables. He does want us to have a deeper walk with him. Psalm 1 again says that meditation constitutes blessedness and contributes to holiness and fruitfulness. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. But how often I have to pray, Lord, help me to start meditating, that it will be acceptable. We do meditate, don't we, on something. We dwell often on things that are passing away. I know people that can tell you, every player on a football team or a soccer team or a baseball team, and they can tell you everything about things of this world, but minds stayed upon the Lord, they can't tell you about the miracles of Christ and the names of God. He's worthy. Meditation is an act of love toward the Lord. It captures God's eye. It's a redemption of precious time, and it's greatly rewarding. Let us begin today. Let us begin today. Let it be said of us that we often took time to meditate on the Lord. God is no man's debtor. Take it with you into eternity. Let us practice it as believers to love the Lord with all of our being. Let's have done with lesser things. Let us be saturated in God's name, God's works, God's glory. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would bless these simple thoughts. Help us to exercise our souls unto godliness. Forgive, Lord, our shallowness, thoughtlessness, our often dwelling on vain things, temporary, temporal things. We pray that the Holy Spirit would remind us of this blessed privilege. Lord, that we would see it's a smorgasbord. Thank you for the food of your word. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. You are worthy of our thought, of our worship. It is worship to meditate upon thee. Help us to be worshipers of the Lord. Bless this congregation. May they be a church that meditates in the word. A people that think of the Lord on purpose, that remember him. Oh, Lord, make them a city and set on a hill that cannot be hid. Let their light shine brighter for the Savior. Work in every heart today. Perhaps, Lord, thou knowest the hearts. There's a lost soul. His mind is full of darkness, doubt, worry. May they know there's salvation in Christ. There's the peace of God, and peace from God, and peace with God through the Lord Jesus. Lord, that thou wilt not allow them to get their minds off thee until thou dost bring them to Christ. Lord, so many of us have to say this morning, heal our backslidings, forgive our shallowness, give us a head start, a new start, Lord, a fresh start. Revive us to muse upon you and that the fires burn again. Revive us again. Thank you, Lord, that you're here to bless. We ask for your benediction. In Jesus' name, amen.